We're holding Mishlei Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter, Pasuk Chaf He. Kas la'aviv ben kesil, u'memer li'yoladeto. A son who is a fool is a source of anger to his father, and the son that's a fool causes bitterness to his mother. And here we see the two different approaches that parents take when they're displeased with their son. The mother gets bitter internally. It's difficult for her. The father gets angry. I had a friend who was, his father was a physicist, a big mathematician. And he told me his father could never teach them math, because every time they'd start doing a math problem, it would take him 2 seconds to think it through. Now, this guy was a genius. This guy was a guy like, when he was in college, he was like advising his professors. But he wasn't quick enough for his father. And his father would get so frustrated with him. What's taking you so long? So he'd get upset. And then finally he gave up. He said, I can't teach you. So he hired him a private tutor, but he couldn't teach his own son because he didn't have to. It got him upset. Kas lavi, when a father feels like his son is foolish, it's anger for him. And it's bitterness for the mother. For the mother, it's more internal, the dissatisfaction with a child. Our sages tell us that this pasuk refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we're all like Hashem's children, and when we're misbehaving, so God is upset with His children, and it causes bitterness to the one that bore Him. That's referring to the Jewish people. That when one is sinful, so he causes other people to sin. What we do is not done in a vacuum. Every action has its impact on others as well. It's not like we do our own thing. A person decides to stay up late on the internet, so the next morning he's not with it in davening, and he's not with it in shir, and that affects the guy sitting next to him, and that affects his chavrusa, and that affects the class. We don't live in a vacuum. Every action that we do affects not only ourselves, but those that are around us. So a person who is doing improper things causes anger to his father, that's referring to Hashem, and causes bitterness to the one that bore him, that's the people that he's a part of, the Jewish people. Gam anosh latzadik lo tov. Punishment is not good for a tzaddik either, and we'll define this in a second. La'kot nedivim alei yosher. Our sages told us that this pasuk is about God and the Jewish people. And Hashem says that it's not good to punish the Jewish people. The Jewish people sinned. And Hashem says it's not good for me to punish them, even though they deserve it. A person has to realize that even if he's a tzaddik, to punish, to be a punisher, is something that brings a person down. And God says, even though the Jewish people sinned, I don't want to punish them. I don't want to be the punisher. Our sages tell us that there are times when God made it that there's anger in heaven. God made it that there's a specific split second in heaven where there's anger every morning. And no one could figure out when that split second is, except for Bilam. Bilam knew how to get that split second, and if he'd start a curse in that split second, so then that's how he got his curses to work. And God said during the time that we were situated near Bilam, and Bilam was wanting to curse the Jewish people, so God made a change in the course of nature, and throughout that period, there was never anger in heaven. And Bilam was waiting for that split second, and he never had it. And that's what the prophet says. On me, my nation, look at all the kindness that I've done for you, that throughout the time of Bilam, I never let that minute, that split second of anger happen. So the Gemara says, how could you find that split second of anger if you want to get it? So it says, take a rooster and look at its crow. The red on top is the crow, the crop, what's it called? The crown. The crop is here. The rooster's crown. And in the morning, the Gemara says that it turns white. So the Gemara says there's many times that it turns white. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I don't know which rooster the Gemara is talking about, but there's a point where it turns white and it has no red veins, and that's for a split second. The rest of the time, it turns white and it has a little bit of red veins going through it. That split second when it's white and there are no red veins visible, that's when there's anger in heavens. So the Gemara says there was a man, one of the rabbis who had in his community some people who were making him trouble, and they were trying to get people to sin, and they were problematic Jews. So he wanted to curse them. So he sat there in the early morning and he put a rooster between his legs and he sat there looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, waiting for that split second. Now you know what happens when you wake up early in the morning and all you're doing is looking at a rooster. He fell asleep. So when he awoke, he said, "Oh, I guess God doesn't want me to curse them." This verse, Gamanosh la tzadik lo tov. Even for a tzaddik, it's not good to give off punishment. We have to try to be sources of blessings in our life. We have to be a source of blessing to other people. We're not supposed to be a source of curse. Megalgelin zchut al yedei zakai. God makes it that good things come to the world through good people. If we are the cause for something bad happening in the world, then that reflects on us. If we are the cause for something good to come to the world, that reflects on us. We don't say, "Well, it had to happen, you know." If a person, God forbid, is in a car accident and someone gets killed, so a person can say, "Well, if everyone has their hour, he meant to die now." Yeah, that's true. He meant to die now. But even if I had no control over it, even if a person can say, "I was 100% careful, I did nothing wrong," at the end of the day, something bad happened and he caused it to happen in this world, then we say in heavens they're giving him a message. Megalgelim chova al yedei chayav. God makes bad things happen in this world through bad people. And so the pasuk tells us, Gamanosh la tzadik lo tov. Even though the person is a tzaddik, if he is the source of punishment, people deserve that punishment. That's not good. That's not good for him. And that's why he said, "Oh, that's why God made me fall asleep. These people, they're bad. They deserve to be punished. But let it come about a different way, not through me."
Why is it that so many bad people get away with so many things?
That's a different question.
Right.
There were two generals, Niron and Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar said, "I'll do it. God said that the temple has to be destroyed, so I'll do it." Nebuchadnezzar said, "I'll get up and do it," right? The Medrash quotes that there was once a Jew who had stolen something. I don't know exactly what he did. And the Roman Empire wanted to put him to death, and he deserved the death penalty. He had done an illegal action. And he ran up to a certain city, and the Romans came and surrounded the city. And the Romans said, "Give him up, or we're destroying the whole city." So the rabbi in the city said, "We have a halacha that says that if Jews are surrounded, and they're told, give up a Jew or we'll kill all of you, you don't give up the Jew. But if they surround and they say, we want this specific Jew, and that specific Jew deserves to be killed for what he did, then we say, you give him that Jew and you don't kill the whole city. In this case, this person did what was wrong and he deserves to be killed. So we don't have to give up the whole city in order to protect this person." So they took that Jew and they gave him over to the Romans and he was executed. Elio used to come and learn with that rabbi. Elio and Avi, this was a great rabbi. Elio used to come learn with him. So he was waiting at night, and Elio isn't showing up, and time is passing and passing and passing, and Elio isn't showing up. So finally he prays, and any merit, Elio comes back. So he tells Elio, "Well, what kept you? Well, why didn't you come?" So Elio says, "You send Jews to be killed, and you think I want to learn with you?" So he told them, "What do you mean I send Jews to be killed? I saved the whole city. That's the halacha. The Mishnah says that that's what we do. That's halacha. That we don't give up a whole city in order to save this person, because you're not going to save the person. And they asked for a specific person, and he did deserve it." So Elio told them, "Yeah, that's the halacha. That's true. But you didn't have to be the one to cause that to happen. It would have happened. You didn't have to get up and say, 'Here, we're giving him,' and be the one to give him over. Even when negative things have to happen, we shouldn't try to be the ones to do them." Elio's term over there in the Medrash is, yeah, it's a Mishnah, but it's not Mishnat Chassidim. It's not a Mishnah that a pious person should be looking to perform. If it has to happen, so hopefully it'll happen on its own. If it doesn't happen, so you have to save the city, that's a different story. But we shouldn't be running up to be the ones to do it. Yeah.
Maybe this is going a little bit faster long enough, but it doesn't seem to me that Israel was running up to perform this task. He was trying to save the city, and maybe a minute later the Romans will have started their catapults to shoot into the city and burn it down.
I didn't follow.
It doesn't seem to me that this Rav was running up to do this, perform this task, to hand over the Jew to the Romans. He was the whole city. He saw the whole city at the edge of death. Yes.
So obviously it wasn't that way. We see from Eliyahu's reaction that it wasn't exactly that way.
Maybe a little bit. Because how he volunteered, he should have gone out, or what should have happened?
Well, that person endangered the city by running in. By doing that, he endangered the city.
But you shouldn't have done it. There could have been an alternative.
No, Eliyahu meant it would have happened. The people of the city would have given him over. It would have happened without you. You didn't have to be the one to do this. Yeah?
Before, you only talked about the heavens for a split second being angry. How do you understand it in the light of... When he talks about the different deot, different midot, he says that anger is the one with that has no place at all. So the principle, I don't know how I understand these examples of God and heavens being angry or being happy or being compassionate, but just out of principle, how to reconcile it. I seem to understand that anger is something completely wrong, according to...
If we have time after this, let's see the Rambam. And after we see the exact terminology that the Rambam uses, let's get back to this Gemara. Okay? Gam anosh latzadik lo tov. To punish the tzaddik with the rasha, to punish the tzaddik as well, isn't good. Lakot nedivim aliyoshel, to punish those that volunteer themselves and they always go on the correct paths. Meaning, when God punishes, He doesn't want a situation where those that don't deserve it get it together with those that do. The Torah tells us, God says that if a person thinks that he'll get away with it, that he'll say, all the Jewish people are good, most of the Jewish people but me are good, so God will make it good for them. I'll get good together with them. And God says, no, I'll single him out. I'll punish him. So in heavens, they don't want a situation where the tzaddikim get swept along with those that are not tzaddikim. Chosech amarav yodea da'at. If you see someone who's stingy on what he says, he's avaricious about his speech, he doesn't speak often, then you know he has knowledge. V'kar ruach ish tevuna. Over here it's written yikar ruach. It's a person who also makes his wind, meaning his speech, precious. That's a person that has understanding. And this is in general a... You want to know who's an intelligent person, he doesn't speak a lot. Shlomo Amar said, "Berov dvarim lo yechdal pasha." If you say a lot, then inevitably you'll say things that you shouldn't have said. So, what's the best way to be careful? Either talk and learn in Torah, so then you could talk all day if you're talking in Torah. You're saying you're doing a mitzvah. Or if we're talking about outside of learning Torah, things, mundane things, so then person has to know that less said is better. I was at an affair where there was a question whether someone should make a comment. There was someone, I don't remember exactly what was going on, but someone was doing something that was questionable whether it was right or wrong. So one of the relatives came to me and said, shouldn't we tell him something? So I said, look, we don't know. Maybe what he's doing is right. Why should we say something? So he said, yeah, but maybe it's wrong. So I said, yeah, but what are you going to say? You don't know anything. We don't begin to know. So Chazal taught us that the rule is, milta bechad shtikuta betrein. If saying something is worth one, then being silent is worth two. Your silence is worth twice as much as speech. If we don't know what we're talking about, so certainly we should be silent. In general, a person should prefer silence over speech, unless he's talking in the Divrei Torah. Yeah? Okay, well, depends which speech. Depends which speech. Let's see what Shlomo Amar says next. Gam evil macharish, chacham yechashev. Even a fool, when he is silent, people think he's smart. In English, they have a saying nowadays, better be silent and people may think you're a fool than speak and remove all doubt. So this pasuk says differently. It says it in the positive, that if you're silent, people will think you're smart. Otem sfatav navon. If one seals his lips shut, people will think he has understanding. You know the joke: a guy needed to go for a shidduch, so he comes to his friend and he says, "You know, I was just set up with a daughter of this big talmid chacham. He's going to sit me down and ask me to learn a piece of gemara together. I don't know how to learn, but he's never going to let me date his daughter." So the guy says, okay, I'll tell you the two words you need to know in learning Torah. So he says, what two words? He says, pink tfaket, the exact opposite. That's all you have to know. Anytime he sits down to learn Torah, he's going to sit down and test you, start learning. Tell him, okay, you start explaining first. He'll explain the passage in the Gemara. So, after he finishes talking, look at him seriously and say, "Pink faket." So the guy says, "Pink faket means the exact opposite." The exact opposite. So the guy says, "Okay." He goes to the prospective father-in-law, and he sits down, and the guy says, "No, you want to date my daughter? Let's learn a little bit of Gemara." So he sits down quietly, shuckling over the Gemara. And he looks seriously, and the father of the girl says, "Okay, let's learn a piece." So he says, "No, read, no problem." So he starts reading, and he says a pshat, and then he looks the young man in his eye and says, "What do you say?" So he looks him in the eye and he says, "Pink tfaket." So the guy says, "What?" Looks over the Gemara again. Psh, what a pshat, what a pshat. Says, okay, leaps forward, goes to the next section, starts learning, finishes, looks at the guy and he says, "What do you say?" The guy says, "Pink fucker." "What? Again?" Stops. This time he has more respect, looks through it. "Wow, how did I miss that?" He looks at him and he says, "Die bist a guin, you're a genius." So the guy doesn't understand the word he's saying. He looks at him and he says, "Pink fucker!" Why did the guy get away with it so long? Because he was silent. He just said two words. If we're silent, so then we leave room for people to think we know a lot more than we do. Shlomo Amar is giving us practical advice, and this is the source for the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that Rabbi Gamliel, Bnosh Rav Yehuda Anasi Omer, Rav Gamliel, the son of Rav Yehuda Anasi, used to say that Ko yomai yashavti bein hachachamim, all my days I grew up among the sages, v'lo matzati laguf tov mishtika, and I found nothing better than silence. When we're silent, we could hear what others are saying, and we can gain wisdom. When the Gerer Rebbe passed away, so they asked the Chidushei Harim to become Rebbe. He was the Rebbe's brother. And he said, "No, there's still another relative who could be the Rebbe. I'm not going to be the Rebbe." And he was only Rebbe, I think, for 8 years or a very short amount of time, the Chidush Erim. That guy Rebbe, he said, "So long as there's someone else who could teach, let me be quiet. Let me sit and learn. I don't need to teach. There's someone else out there who could teach." So Shlomo HaMelech is advising us that when we can, our silence is going to be appreciated as a sign of wisdom. And with that, we end the 17th chapter. Yeah.
And we're not allowed to keep out power to actually
so have we said.
To teach, even if you just know a little.
So that we have to discuss when we get to the pasuk that he quoted. When we get to that pasuk, we'll discuss what the guy Rabbi meant.
Yes, also the nice saying, better than people ask, why did